Hello, hello. My name is Jason Stewart. You're listening to The Stew, which is the new name for this actual podcast. The first episode, if you listen to it, that is not even out yet in my real time. We didn't know a name for it yet. But now we have named it The Stew, thanks to my friend Jerome. My co-host is Chris Chang. Say hello.
Hi.
For listeners at home, I'm so glad I turned him down because he's already yelling. We have one guest today. His name is Zach. Say hello.
Hello.
Zach.
He said hello.
I did. He told me to.
Yeah.
Zach. I follow directions.
Zach is a fellow food podcaster.
Yes.
Who has a very popular food podcast called Food is the New Rock.
I'm glad you got that in at the beginning, because if people stop listening like 5 or 10 minutes in, at least they've heard that.
No, that won't happen.
This guy's popular.
Yeah. My listenership in terms of time percentage unclicks, as they call it in the biz, is very high.
Do they call it that?
Not at all.
No.
Not at all.
All I know is that right before this, you recorded an episode of Tall Tales, and there were really good-looking women in this room. And then there was a changeover that
happened. What are you trying to say?
Between that and this podcast, uh-huh. And now it's just like fat dudes and you. Like, what?
For the record,
what
I'm
happened?
Just spread eggs on the table waiting for Zach. And I'm kind of offended. Time to go home.
I was hoping for a little bit more out of you. Yeah, Tall Tales, it's not always blonde women chatting it up in my living room. Sometimes we have, I mean, it's actually mostly male guests on my other podcast. But this one, it's still so new. We've only had dudes. This is the second episode. But we'll have women on there, don't worry.
On the food podcast?
Yeah, do you know any chicks?
2014, Jason.
Zach does that podcast. He's also a famous food blogger.
Yes.
People, is that okay?
For sure, saying? I don't know.
Are you good?
Sounds good. No,
food
no, no.
Blogger
I just,
in the world.
You gave me a beer. I've had a beer.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Food blogger. Podcast.
So you do the food
thing.
Podcast, Food is the New Rock.
Yep.
You do a blog, Midtown Lunch. And that, how long has that been going on for?
Oh, 8 years. 8 years.
8 years?
Yep.
Are you from New York? Is that like
yeah,
mid-city
I started,
LA?
Yep. Okay. Yeah, I started it. Yeah, started in New York. I was, I used to be in radio a long time ago. Was working at Sirius Satellite Radio in New York and eating lunch. And I kind of wanted to start a food blog. It was 8 years ago. So it was kind of knew there weren't a trillion food blogs out there. Mm-hmm. And I started like one of those go out to dinner and write about your dinner food blogs.
Mm-hmm.
And after like 3 or 4 posts, I was like, who gives a shit? Like what I have to say about Babo.
Pay
and,
attention, Asian you know, girls of the yeah. world.
And my wife was like miserable, like, you know, with me taking pictures of our fancy dinners and stuff. And so I was like, all right.
So you're living high on the hog off the Sirius money back in the day, huh?
Sure, sure. You know, you clearly know nothing about radio.
So how could you afford all these fancy dinners
then? My wife's a lawyer. That's it.
Yeah. Hey. Congratulations to you.
Yes, thank you, sir. I did. I won the lottery.
Oh, lucky.
Yeah. And so, I was like, all right. So I shut that down. And
so you're the Asian girl of the relationship.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
What's your Yelp name?
Dude, this was before Yelp. I'm old school.
Breadwinner 69.
Fuck Yelp.
Breadwinner 69.
So this is pre-Yelp.
Yeah, this was early. And yes. New York didn't, you know, New York was behind LA on the Yelp game. So like even when Yelp was started to get big in LA, it wasn't really that big in New York.
Mm-hmm.
So there was room for a site like mine. I you know, started eating lunch, you know, around Sirius, which is in Midtown.
Mm.
And I was like, you know, no one's writing about these shitty lunches. So I started a site and called Midtown Lunch. I started posting. And literally the second week, you know, Gawker, I think, wrote about me and made fun of me for writing about shitty lunches.
So it was less of like a in praise of these lunch spots blogs and more of like, I think someone took a shit in my curry today kind of thing.
No, no, no. It was so Midtown is filled with like shitty sandwich and salad places where you go, you pick 8 things in your salad and you pay $9 and I hate that crap. But you could find these crazy little places if you were just willing to walk a couple extra blocks or kind of, you know, there were strange, like there was this one, the first place that I wrote about that was kind of launched the site was this place called Hingwan on 48th between 5th and 6th. It was nearby.
Cousin.
Yes. Yeah.
There it is. That's not my cousin's name.
You guys still talk.
Shots goes at Joyce.
And it was like this this little Chinese place, and they had you walk in, and they had 2 lines. The one line was like the
white people
was the steam table. Ooh. With the orange chicken and the beef and broccoli and the fried rice, and then the other line was like you order from the cash register, and the menu was in Chinese, and it was like roast pork over rice and noodle soups and all sorts of and it was all Asian people in that line, and I was like, oh, this place is amazing. And they did like roast pig over rice where you had like the meat and the crackling, and oh, so good. The place is amazing, and there's so many people that would never walk into that place because it's not salads, can't get a turkey sandwich. So we started writing about a place like that, and Midtown's packed with people, so many people looking for lunch. And so Gawker made fun of me. People started reading the site, and it just took off. Shockingly.
Thanks, Gawker.
Yeah, thank you, Gawker.
Has Gawker commented on you since then in
no.
a positive light?
I don't know. I mean, the second week I was doing this site, I decided to do falafel week. Every week I posted about a different falafel in Midtown.
And so falafel puns?
And so Gawker wrote about it, and they were like, this week is falafel week. Next week will be constipation week. And that
That's
was it.
Dumb.
Yeah. But dude, that was like, I had like 10,000 people came to the site that day.
Yeah.
And then the next day, you know, 1,000 people came back. And then that was it. Like, I had a site. And it just grew and grew from there. Because Midtown's just, there's just a ton of people in Midtown.
And how long have you been in LA away from Midtown?
So, yeah, I moved to LA maybe 4 years ago.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, my wife and I, you know, we... we had kids. We had a kid and realized, you know, and I lived here before I moved to New York. So we kind of always planned on moving back here. And so once we had our first kid, we moved back here. And then I kind of expanded the site. So now there's a section in Philadelphia, a section here that I just use as an excuse to stuff my face at lunchtime. And then we still have a site. We still have the site in New York that I like have writers that... You know.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you have a full team.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. That's it. I'll go with that story.
That's great. And your food podcast, how many episodes have you done of that?
So we're at, I think, 110.
Mm.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was in radio and I ended up quitting my job.
What were you doing in radio exactly?
I was like in music programming.
Sounds serious.
It's, hey.
You've never heard that joke before. Why are you guys looking at me like that?
Yeah, I did music programming at Sirius. I worked on like, I don't know, I've always worked at, you know, alternative, indie rock, like kind of
Smash
stations.
Mouth.
So yeah, Smash Mouth. Lit. Yeah. I'm a big fan of the Limp Bizkit, Korn, very exciting.
Same.
I've always worked at all those kind of crappy radio stations.
Mm-hmm. and then it just started from that lunch thing. You have no food background whatsoever.
You know, just being a fat guy and liking to eat. And
but I don't really consider you to be a fat guy.
Well, I'm fat. I'm fat for LA. You know, look at me. It's not.
Yeah, look at
you. I mean,
damn, how'd you do it?
I also
tell me your secrets.
Yeah.
I also like saying I'm really fat because then when people meet me, they're like, oh, you're not that fat. I expect you to be like morbidly obese. And then I feel good about myself and I go home to my wife and I'm like, see, like I could.
That seems unhealthy.
I could
to me.
Be fatter. Like I could be eating
this
more.
Could be so much worse.
Yeah, yeah.
That does not seem right.
I mean, it's, you know.
I'm for it. Don't listen to this.
When I moved out here, I considered. Rather than starting a Midtown lunch out here, I consider just starting a new blog and calling it Fat for LA because I am definitely fat here in Southern California. Like, there's no question about that.
It's very tough to eat your way through this city and not be a fatty, I would say.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, and, like the main LA food guy would be like Jonathan Gold.
Well, Jonathan Gold's in a he's a different level. I mean, he's like, I mean, once you win a Pulitzer Prize, you're allowed to weigh 300 pounds. Like, that's not.
Does he weigh 300 pounds? I've never seen a photo of him, just his side profile.
He's a big dude. He's a big fella. He's a big dude. And you can't have that job without being a big dude.
So you're telling me a guy who gets paid to eat food for a living is fat?
But there are definitely food critics out there who are not fat.
No, I don't think so. if the person who's writing about food is not fat, then you can't trust that. You can't trust, like, going back to your whole Asian girl thing. There are all these like girl food bloggers that write about food, and they're so skinny, and you're like, you just have an eating disorder.
But when you
and your food blog is just meant to convince everyone around you that you actually do like
food. There is like a separate website of girls calling out like model girls who are posting photos of them.
Oh, you're talking about that Instagram account that's like, you didn't eat that?
Yeah.
I love that account.
Like, there is that,
so
like,
great.
Like models just like, I'm about to eat this bacon donut.
It's so great. I love that account.
But I feel like if your job living in LA as being a full-time model, like, you can eat a bunch of bad food and still maintain a good
Michael
body.
Michael Phelps.
Dude, there's a... Listen,
look
there's
at me.
If you really work hard enough, you can do it.
Sure, but I mean, listen, there's nothing wrong. If that's your job and you're not, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, there's nothing wrong with not liking to eat or not liking to stuff your face and be fat and whatever. But you don't have to pretend, you know? It's like...
Right.
It's like, I remember when Momofuku opened in New York. And it was a big deal.
No, I'm sorry.
Wow.
I'm getting in trouble for that one.
Did you say yawn?
Yeah, I did.
Why?
Momofuku. Momo boring.
Momofuku is good.
You're not a fan?
I think it's good. I don't think it's like worth
Well, let me ask
about.
You. Did you go? Were you in New York like when it first opened,
no.
or did you go like in
I'm
the past
a poser,
couple of
yeah,
years?
Like,
no. I'm not. I don't mean that as an insult. I
no,
mean,
he
if
is
you
a poser.
if you live in L.A. and you went and ate there today for the first time, like pork buns, ramen, like it seems like old news. Like
right.
it's a. But when it opened, like you know, when it first like hit the scene, I mean, it was, and now everyone's copied it, and so now if you go there now, it seems like this old fashioned. Fashion thing
right.
that's kind of been there, done that. But
yeah, the first time
opened,
I went to Momofuku was sort of, it wasn't at the beginning, but it was fairly early, and I was getting new into like appreciating the finer things in food, and I was like, every dish they brought out was something I've never seen before, and I was like, holy shit this is crazy.
I will say I did have a really great time at Mapesh
in Midtown.
Yeah at the hotel. I really enjoyed Mapesh.
Underrated.
Is it Mapesh or Mapesh?
Mapesh.
I'm not asking you.
It's not French either.
It's true.
David Chang.
It's true.
I've only heard
not.
People call it Mapesh.
That's how I would say
we're
it.
We're talking
but,
to Chinese
but you
people.
But you were pronouncing it as if this thing that is a pesh is your own.
Mapesh.
Like, have you seen Mapesh?
My passion.
Are we gonna talk about Corona again? Because that's what that sounds
the
like.
Beer.
Yeah.
Or the
yeah. The first time I went to Momofuku, I was there. I was like, I remember they had like, this is a plate of mayonnaise mixed with espresso in a bowl, in the middle of a plate, and there's just shaved Benton ham around it, and you just grab a piece of ham and dip it in this espresso mayonnaise.
Oh, that sounds good. Oh, that
like,
sounds good.
It's red-eye gravy. It's like an old American thing. It's like a...
Look at this guy.
What? It is. It's he didn't like invent the fucking wheel.
He
just made the wheel sexier.
There's last time I checked, there's no mayonnaise in gravy, though.
No, in red-eye... But that's like
I know,
the
I
plan,
know.
You know? It's
know.
The coffee and the ham. Ooh.
Well, you're kind of doing the... The art analysis where, like, yeah, I could do that, but I didn't kind of thing.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I never wanted to.
What
sure,
you?
Sure, that makes sense. Yeah. Yeah.
No,
I believe
like,
that.
Listen, like, anyone that's, like...
I've always wanted to mix things with mayonnaise, though. All right, by the way, Chang, that is your second and final beer of the show.
Why are you going to call me out on the internet?
I'm cutting you off. This is something that we all have to do.
For the listeners at home, Jason's my mom.
It takes a village. This is only so when I'm editing the show down, I don't have to spend 3 hours cutting out all of your racial slurs. So anyways.
You know who can get out of Texas?
Okay, so what were we talking about?
Oh, so I was going to say that Momofuku. Yeah, sorry, so, wow. No. So Momofuku, when it opened, you know, there's a big thing about how, like, vegetarians would go there and be like, why can't I eat anything? You know, you should cater to me. And so it was this big thing where David Chang came out and was like, listen, man, like, it's a fucking pork restaurant. Like, if you don't eat pork, like, don't come. Like, you don't need to be here. You know, and it's this whole thing that people feel like, oh, I have to eat at this place, this hot new place, or I have to, you know. And it's like, no, you don't. Like, if you don't like pork, like, don't eat at a restaurant that specializes in pork.
Right.
Like, you can't go to a place like that and expect that they're going to cater to you. So I feel like it's the same with, you know, models or whatever. If you, listen, you don't eat, you don't eat. It's not a big deal. You don't have to pretend like, oh, I'm stuffing my face, you know, with, like, leave that to the fat guys.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's this, like, they think, like, I think the whole, like, general, like, how would you say, like, infestation of, like, quote-unquote foodie culture is straight up from, like, I think people want themselves to be perceived as more, like, discerning and, like, of having these, like, taste buds with great qualities. I think that's straight up what it is. Like, if I tell you I've eaten at this restaurant and this dish was incredible, in my, like, plebe mind, I'm like, yeah, Zach gets me. Zach thinks I'm cool, and then I'm smart. And you know what I mean? Like, I think that's where it comes from.
I do get you.
But, you know, like, why don't you just go to In-N-Out Hamburger and eat a delicious In-N-Out Hamburger, you know?
I feel like if you really do care and that much about food and eating, you do fully let go. Not fully, but to a certain extent, you let go of your physical appearance.
Notice he's looking at us as he says
no,
that.
No, no.
You let go and you let God.
When he says you, he's talking about us. Like, he doesn't mean the collective
I'm
you.
I'm speaking
he
about myself means, as well. Like, I look.
Fucking tall and skinny.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so fat and into food. My name is Jason Storr.
You do a very good fat guy.
Thank you.
Well, I mean, I have to. I feel like I eat so much food all the time.
You're blessed, is what you are.
But I'm not. I work. I go to the gym.
Show us your belly.
Are you one of those guys that, like, that if you didn't go to the gym, you would be, you know, 300 or 400 pounds? Like, you'd be, like, there's a potential for you.
Not 400 pounds, but like.
There's a potential for you to be, like, morbidly obese later in life, or, because you look like one of those guys to me that is just super tall, super skinny, so you need a ton of food just to run your body.
Right.
So you just eat and eat and eat and never really get fat.
Well, there's a certain extent, like he mentioned Michael Phelps earlier, like, his it takes a lot of fuel to fuel his body. He'll eat 10,000 calories a day, where if we could do that, that would be amazing. I'd love to do that, but I couldn't.
As long as I didn't have to, like, swim 6 hours a day.
Right. But he's swimming 6 hours a day. But yeah, I wouldn't be morbidly obese, but I would definitely be, like, way fatter. Like, when I was, like, maybe when I was, like, 25, 26, 27, I was...
Are there fat Jason Stewart pictures out there on the internet and stuff?
There are fatter, not...
I've seen Chubb.
There are Chubbs. I was probably 40 pounds more than I am right now.
Yeah, but you're 6'9".
Like,
40 pounds is so little on you.
40 pounds is so little on me. That is correct.
40 pounds on you would probably mean you looked healthy. Is that?
Well, you know, there's two sides to that story, though. Because I can, right now, with my svelte height, I could gain 10 pounds or lose 10 pounds, and you wouldn't know the difference.
Right.
And
where's that weight coming from?
So, but in order for me to try and be LA skinny fat or whatever that I am, I feel like I do have to work pretty hard. But if I only stopped drinking and eating past 2 a.m., I would completely accomplish that.
Right.
I would be like, I would probably have like a six pack right now if I didn't drink a lot and eat burritos at 2 or 3 in the morning.
We have a six pack right here.
Blonde Leffe.
Mm-hmm. But you know, but I love food so much that I'm willing to let that go. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
And just hopefully my girlfriend doesn't leave me and things will be okay.
Have you ever thought about that? Like, if you're in a long-term relationship, I was talking to my old intern about this the other day, and I looked at his girlfriend, who's super skinny, and I was like, listen, Karina, here's the plan. If you want to know if, like, Harris really, really loves you, you just get really fat, and if he leaves you, it means he's shallow and that he's a shitty person. And then you can lose your weight again.
And if he doesn't leave you, he's
then
a trooper.
He's a trooper, and you just stay fat to test him still.
No. Then you lose all the weight and reward him.
I'm testing.
I've never
my
been
wife.
A girlfriend, so.
I'm
so
testing my wife right now. Yeah? We're seeing how far I can push the boundaries before.
So when you were younger, like 8 years ago when you started the blog, were you skinnier or fatter or sames?
Well, 8 years ago, I was fresh off living in L.A. for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And after 2 years in L.A. being just poor, not married to a lawyer, I was like the skinniest I'd ever been.
And this was pre-Kale.
This was pre-Kale for sure. For sure.
So what were you eating 8 years ago?
I wasn't eating anything good. That's the amazing thing. I just was. My lifestyle was such that I like went to sleep super late, but didn't necessarily eat super late. And then I'd wake up super late. I really only ate like 2 meals a day. And a lot of it was like frozen Trader Joe's meals, which are not healthy. Like a lot of corn dogs and stuff, which are not healthy. But if that's all, if you're eating that, and then dinner, that's it. You know, it's not a lot of calories. And
yeah, same for me. I think, I mean, they'll say like being fat is a sign of wealth and opulence back in the old day. Like,
it's true. Well, but now, it's tough.
It's kind of, but like, you know, in the Victorian era, like being fat was a sign of wealth. But I believe that's kind of true because when I was at my poorest point of my life, I was definitely the skinniest in my life.
Right.
Like when I would eat a pizza when my three friends would scrounge our pocket change and buy a pizza to split for dinner.
Right.
And then your breakfast at 1 p.m.
There are
was the
millions of
slice.
People in the middle of the country that prove that theory wrong. But yes, for you and me, it definitely
Isn't
worked.
Isn't that weird?
It
I feel like at that point
worked.
It's a quantity thing, though.
No, it's more a that in this country, fast food has become so cheap and is so bad for you that people are morbidly obese.
No, but I think like
poor people are obese from eating shitty, cheap food. Because
so I think the key to being skinny in America is to be poor but have good taste.
Yes, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
Just we cracked the code.
Because when I was 21 and I was sharing in a one-bedroom apartment with three people in Hollywood, and we would eat a pizza for dinner between three people, I was super skinny, but I would never go, like, the idea of going to McDonald's was disgusting to me. Like, ugh, I would never go there.
Right, for sure. But that being said, if I, let's say, you know, won money playing poker one night, I would reward myself the next day by going to Panda Express. So it wasn't, or
that's
Baja Fresh.
Price?
Sometimes Baja Fresh. And that's what I lived on. Like,
was this online poker or real life poker?
No, this was actually, this was 10 years ago. This was like in the L.A. poker boom of the...
Was this like the Hollywood...
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was
the racetrack?
Knee deep in that.
Really?
Yeah.
My friend was one of the guys who would sit down at like the blackjack tables and the poker tables who was
Two different things.
They are two different things.
Yep. Yeah, but one is gambling, one is skill.
But he was an employee of the casino, and he would sit down at the tables to fluff up the bets.
What?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy talk.
Yeah, that happened. That was during the full boom when it was really pumping, and he would just kind of sit down at the tables, and he would like kind of limp in.
That's
To get the he would just Pussy. To get.
He would limp in to fluff up the game?
He would limp in to fluff up the game, and it worked.
Are we still talking about poker?
Unclear. So, moral of the story, 10 years ago, life was good. This was pre-Kale. Gambling was happening.
I was thin.
But this was back in the day when you would treat yourself with Panda Express.
Yeah. That was
before
my
your palate had developed, or before your knowledge of finer dining was. Yeah.
I mean, listen, like I still went to, you know, Mario's Peruvian every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Thai Town a little bit, but now I look back on the places I went to in Thai Town, I was like, oh, I went to the shittiest places.
Mm.
And then when I moved back here with all that food blogging under my belt, I was like, oh man, I can't believe I missed out on all these places in LA. I was eating it. I still do love Panda Express though, but I was eating it like Panda. I was eating it, you know, Baja Fresh.
I love Baja.
And you know, going to see Thai Elvis, like in Thai
Palms
Town.
Thai.
Yeah, Palms.
He retired. He moved back to Thailand.
Did he retire or did he die? Because I heard he was like super sick. So is he all right? Is he all right?
Retired.
I don't know.
Is he all right? So
I heard
upsetting.
He moved back to Thailand.
Well, I've been going there for a while, and I feel like the last year or two I've been, it's been like a woman
doing like Jason Mraz covers.
Yeah, literally that.
Well, I actually had
lunch there last week.
I'm talking about, but the food's not good, or is it?
I mean, don't mind Palms Thai.
The food is not good, but it's not bad.
Right, and
but it's but so cheap that it doesn't matter.
I'm talking about before when it was down, when it was at its old location, and you literally had like ruined pear across, like in the same shopping mall, which is
one of the
best Thai restaurants in LA.
Yeah,
and I never ate a ruined pear. I always ate a Palms, or even the two doors down, Ganda, on the other side of the dessert place. That place is freaking amazing too. I never ate there all those years. Like never ate there.
I went to the ruined pear back in the day to get the green papaya salad, and good. I didn't even like the green papaya salad.
Well, you're saying because you had no context for how good it was at that time, right?
Like I would go there with like some friends and then be like, "We gotta get the papaya salad," and be like, "This is gross." And then
their pad Thai is not good.
Like every here's the thing: every Thai restaurant has, like, at least in LA, has very similar flavors. Like, there's nothing that pops out. Like, you know, the ones that are, you know, northern versus southern are way more spicy and, like, the dishes are different. But, like, from a Palms Thai to a ruined pear, like, in terms of flavor, there's nothing different with
Shut your mouth. You're dead to me.
You know what the
You're
big difference is? The big difference is the way the noodles are cooked. That's
Come
really,
on now.
It's the
Come
noodle.
On. Don't be crazy.
No, I'm being
don't
serious.
Be crazy.
For me, the difference between Thai food of the northern and southern is one is like...
Oh, no. I mean, the different cuisines. I'll admit that. But if you get pad Thai at any restaurant in LA that's a Thai restaurant, like, it all tastes pretty close.
Yeah, and all the Korean barbecue places in Koreatown are
no,
the
they
same.
Don't.
Yeah. Oh,
but you know
I
what?
See,
that's
and all the cheeseburgers
me.
Are the same.
Oh, I see. No. I see.
But I always this is why we do a food podcast, guys.
You know we're gonna fight each
other. But I always consider one Thai food to be this is what you eat when you're hungover and you want to order take-in, and like nothing sounds better than pad Thai with tofu and like a horrible salad
with
peanut sauce on it.
I'm with you. I'm here. Yep.
Like that to me is like or pad siu just like. Dumb Thai food, and it's so good, and it's like covered in sugar, and I love eating it. And then when I want to be like adventurous and have a challenging, like, because the other Thai food is like easily consumable, you're just eating it like salty, sweet, tastes good, blah, 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 whatever.
Who
but then,
are you?
But the other Thai food
I
is
sing
like,
that same song,
but like if you go to if you go to like Night Market Song or something, right. It's like a challenging, like, you have to mentally prepare yourself to eat this meal.
That place is so good.
Is it?
I haven't been
it.
There yet.
I just went there for dinner.
I love
first
it.
First time there.
You weren't a fan?
Let's get into it.
The best thing there
was... My friend
was
Chris is the chef there.
I don't want to offend your friends. It was very delicious.
Please talk about it. He would love to hear about it.
No, I feel like I'm going to make him angry and I can't
don't,
eat
no,
there.
No, no, no.
I'll poop in
What'd
my
you
food.
Order? That place is great.
I ordered three of the specials of the day.
Well, that's a... But so you ordered something that might not even be there the next time I go.
Yeah.
Did you get the fried chicken sandwich?
Oh, that's like
a
off
fried
the
chicken
that's like
sandwich?
Off menu. That's off menu.
Off menu.
No, I didn't go to an Asian restaurant for a sandwich.
Well, it's off menu, but it's also
that's
what everybody's talking about.
That's true.
I don't know. I don't read
Okay, then
what'd
you get?
The first thing,
You're
the only thing that I thought was super, you know, blah, delicious was this Penang curry with tendon, with beef tendon, and it came with like roti, like, you know, the Indian bread. And
I'm pretty sure it's Malaysian, but keep going.
The Malaysian bread, fine, whatever. I just, you know, fine, whatever. I had to go with the accent, so I had to go roti.
You had a roti.
Yeah. And it was just the way the
I live across from India Sweets and Spices, so I get it.
What's your address, Jason? The way the roti just mixed with like the creaminess of the penne, like it made it taste creamier, and it was just a balls-out amazing dish. Everything else, you know, I've had fried chicken, and they just happened to have...
You got the party wings.
No, it was like a fried chicken on the specials menu with like a mashed bug sauce. But there was nothing incredible. You know, it's like it's all food I've eaten before in my head.
Right.
But the penang with roti I've never had before, and that really was great, you know?
So when you go out to eat, like, it has to be like new experience every time?
No, it doesn't, because, you know, sometimes I just want apple pan barbecue sauce on a hamburger.
See,
know?
Okay, you like apple pan?
I love apple
Terrible.
Pan.
Terrible.
But you know
I
why?
Love
I love overrated.
I love barbecue sauce on a burger. That's it.
That's, I don't love the
I could
barbecue.
Do that at home. I get it.
I love the barbecue
but
sauce
when,
burger.
But to go back to him real quick, and then we'll go back to apple pan. When you go to a place like Night Market, you're expecting to experience new things that you
right,
may have not had before.
You know, there's another, I forget the name of it, but it's a Thai restaurant in Thai town, but it's northern Thai cuisine and everything.
Jitlada?
Yes. It's like butthole, like hot, spicy.
Also overrated.
Tell a white
that.
Man how to
this
eat my noodles.
My podcast.
I'll
I don't
say
give
that.
A shit.
I'll say that. I'll say
oh,
that.
I don't give a shit. Dude, you know what? Here's the thing. For me, like, you can go to any restaurant, have a great meal, bad meal. You know, most restaurants are relatively inconsistent, depending on what you order, depending on who you're with, how much you drink, like, the whole thing. To mm-hmm. me, like, Night and Market, yeah, I've been to, you know, his original place and the new place. I've only been to the new place once, but the original place, like, the first meal I had there, it's not like it blew me away. I wasn't like, this is the greatest Thai food
yeah, then what's
I've
all
ever
the hype
eaten
for?
In my life. Well, but here's the thing. But in the end, it's still, like, he is a great cook. Like, the sensibility of the restaurant is great for the neighborhood. It's amazing. And you can have an amazing meal there. And if you live in, you know, Silver Lake and... You know, it's a fun place to go drink and get Thai food. And honestly, I can't even think of a restaurant I'd rather eat at more than that in that neighborhood.
Right.
You know, and so, yeah, are you going to go there? I mean, maybe you're not going to be blown away every time. Maybe there'll be some bad dishes, great dishes, whatever.
Nothing was
but
bad
it's still,
for the record.
But it's still, yeah. a great place, you know, and he's a great, like, friend. He's like one of those guys that I'll eat at any place he opens and eat any food he makes. And maybe I won't be blown away every time, but it's good
but
stuff.
But that's
you know?
The thing. It was like... Why all the hype?
Well, that's the problem is that anytime you...
Same with Pine and Crane. I'm going to just shit on all
well,
the east side
Pine and
Asian
Crane.
Restaurants right now.
Yeah, but Pine and Crane, it's like, dude, there's no good... I mean, unless you're going to San Gabriel Valley, there's no good food like that around here.
Fine. That's true. But that's
a great fucking place for that.
The
for
best
this
things,
neighborhood.
The best things at Pine and Crane were like... The cold salads they had, like
the cold salads are great.
But all the hot dishes were Yon Fest City, man.
Same for me. But like when I had like the $3 beef roll thing that you can get anywhere in SGV.
Yeah, it's not.
It was great.
It
tasted like, just like the one you can get in Reseda or wherever.
Reseda, where do you think San? How long have you lived in California that you think Reseda's in the San Gabriel?
Sorry,
area?
I'm drunk. I was just in Reseda last
like
week.
Tom Petty.
I know
Tom Petty's not Chinese.
Is Tom Petty actually from Reseda? Or are you just
well,
going
no,
off
I
the
mean,
lyrics of Free Fall?
Yeah, I mean,
sometimes
that's a reference
I'm a little drunk, and I get the Valley switch, and I was just in Reseda last week. So,
where?
Reseda. So I meant to say, Rosemead.
Rosemead. There you go. Boom.
Rosemead. Yeah, but when you go to Rosemead, you can get like a beef roll anywhere, and it tastes good. It's just like
I have a beef roll.
It's like a roti with like beef
roti?
Inside of it and some like herbs and stuff. But like, there's nowhere else in LA, where you can really get one of those. It
Fine.
Seems like
there are so many shitty restaurants in LA.
Yeah.
That when you get a place like Pine and Crane that opens in your neighborhood, like you better fucking be excited about it and go patronize that place because if not, then it's gonna close and get replaced by freaking like
Chipotle. I would love a Chipotle.
Ugh.
No,
I hate
Chipotle.
I hate Chipotle.
Do you think?
I suck. I love
do you think
Chipotle.
Pine? This is. Do you think Pine and Crane is forage for Asian people?
Forage for Asian people. Forage is
Forage is the restaurant that's that like, place in right around the corner from. Pine
Oh yeah, I've never been to that place. That place is too weird.
What?
No,
I don't like that crap. I don't like that typical LA like salads and.
It's not though. It's just like really. It's like a
and it's
better,
expensive.
It's like better tender greens. Wow,
you're not a salad.
Fire in his eyes.
It's not that I'm not into salads. Like I like salads at. I just don't like the idea of going and eating a salad for lunch. And I feel like Forage is the kind
Let's
of
get
place.
Into this.
To me, Forage is the kind of place that it gives LA what it wants, and I don't want to eat what LA wants. I want to see like a point of view. I want to. If you take away like take the culture out of it, like take if you. Not counting like Koreatown, Thai Town, SGV, like all that. But for the
little Bangladesh.
Yeah, newer restaurants and chefs, like I wanna see like a point of view. I wanna see like what you wanna do, who you are, not like what you think a bunch of like shitty people trying to stay thin wanna eat.
Mm-hmm.
Ford's well, not I like that at all.
I appreciate your point of view, but I feel like you are definitely in the minority.
About of course I'm in the minority. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Here in LA.
Right.
Yeah,
so from a business aspect, it seems like not a safe bet to do what you want to do.
Oh, for sure.
In terms of launch.
Oh, for sure. There's no question about it.
But do you feel but also Forage will have specials that they'll run that are more adventurous, bizarre.
To be honest with you, I've
dishes.
Never eaten there. It's not my kind of, like I'm sure I could eat there and find something that I like and that tastes good. I'm sure the food tastes good. It's just not my kind of place. I don't know. It's not. Is it going to help me get fatter? Is the question.
Yeah, they have.
And the answer is no.
Yeah, it is.
See, for
their
me,
their kale salad is just feta cheese.
For me, this is the way I like to
I'm
eat.
I'm not angry. I love it.
I do like super healthy breakfast, super healthy lunch, and then dinner is when I get fatty. For me, I would like to, maybe it's just growing up in California my whole life. I like to keep my lunches light.
See, I'm the opposite. I stuff my face at lunch.
How do you stay awake at like 3 o'clock?
And then I cook. It's my job. That's
I guess
work for me.
Yeah, I guess if you have the word lunch in the name of your website, you gotta. Yeah. But the way that you're eating is technically more optimal for health because
right,
you should
you have
be
time to burn off the calories.
You should be consuming your fattiest meals early in the day, and then your dinner should be healthy.
Why am I not skinnier?
Maybe because you got 3 kids and you're married and you have you're not doing triathlons.
So you've got nothing going. I'm just kidding.
So like for lunch that's your like big fatty.
Yeah, yeah, and then dinner time
meal.
We cook. I cook at home.
So what did you have
for
lunch
dinners.
Today?
Lunch today was we went to I just went near my house to Samosa House East, which is it's pretty good, you know. Like a little Indian food action.
Wait, where do you live?
Culver City.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why when you guys were talking, well, that was a different podcast, so nobody knows that. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, Culver City, you know.
Okay.
How dad of you.
Yeah, I know. The dude. Going
okay,
to
so
see
what
my minivan? It's parked outside.
Let's walk our way through your eating day. So what do you do for breakfast?
So breakfast, like, it depends. Like, sometimes I'll eat breakfast, sometimes I don't. You know, cup of tea, little PG Tips action, milk and sugar. Yeah.
PG Tips, milk and sugar.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, do you dip a coffee. Biscuit in there as well?
If we have them, you know, little digestives, maybe covered in chocolate sometimes.
Oh, wow.
If they're
breakfast?
Around. If they're around.
So,
chocolate for breakfast?
So you really don't... Sometimes you will fully skip breakfast.
Sometimes, yeah. Okay. I mean, but yeah, and sometimes I'll just like eat snacks at like 9 or 10 o'clock or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And
potato chips.
Because my work day, I mean, I roll out of bed 7:30. I'm on the computer working because it's 10:30 in New York. So it's kind of already late. Like when I first moved out here, I was waking up at like 6:30, 7 in the morning, jumping on the computer. So I'm like doing my hardcore working from like 7:30 to 11:30.
So right now it's 10:20 p.m. Is this late night for you?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, this is great. I feel good. Like...
You feel alive for the first time in years,
God.
Zach.
What are we doing after this, guys?
You want to get some coke?
Whoa. I'm trying to show him a good time, not ruin his life. He has 3 kids and a wife.
I'm so sorry.
She's lovely.
Yeah, okay, and then 11:30, I'm starving.
Okay.
And then it's time to, you know, go to lunch.
So you eat your lunch at proper noon lunchtime.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Any later than that and I pass
good,
out.
Good for you.
Yeah, I get hangry.
And then dinner time, you cook for the fam.
I cook for the fam, yep. Okay. Dinner time, yep.
You like, know, what did you make for dinner tonight for the fam?
Tonight was a little, just like a little pasta sauce, red sauce, a little eggplant, mushrooms,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And do you go to, like, farmers markets and buy...
I did. I went to the, like, not... I don't do the whole Santa Monica. Like, I'm mm-hmm. not a chef, so...
You don't do the Wednesday morning and I'm too shit?
So you don't care about your kids is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm too far away from Hollywood
but
to
Culver
go to
City
that
has
one.
A fine farmers market.
Culver City has an excellent farmers market on Tuesdays. When I first moved out here, I went every Tuesday, took my kids, went to the farmers market.
Mm-hmm.
And after, like, 3 years, I was like, fuck this
fuck
shit.
Fuck these kids.
Like, I'm like, I got shit to do. Like, you know, they can stay and I don't need to pick them up.
Yeah, you can't be gallivanting and school. Like, have you ever tried a squash blossom, Jeremy?
Yeah, yeah, fuck that.
Daddy, no!
So, no, I don't do that anymore. Now we're just like Whole Foods and...
Trader Joe's?
No, you know, we don't really do the Trader Joe's anymore. Poor? I'm not, yeah,
why's
I'm not.
The lawyer?
Yeah, exactly. Right, so. Yeah, it's true. Trader Joe's doesn't... I'll go to Trader Joe's once a month, once every 2 months.
To scoff
like,
at everyone?
Stock up. No, like stock up on like, you know, barbecue sauce and soy vey and frozen, you know, like fun frozen shit.
What is soy vey?
Soy vey teriyaki sauce.
It's like delicious. The teriyaki sauce that has the sesame seeds
and
in
it. And it's kosher?
It's like it was founded no. by a
Jewish grandmother.
It was
vegetarian.
Founded by a couple. One of them was a Jewish dude and an Asian woman. Imagine that.
Mm. Wait, so you're telling
never in my life.
There's a couple where there's a Jewish dude
and an Asian
and an
woman.
Asian woman.
It's
in
very,
a couple
it for the first
strange,
time in the history of
strange.
Sauces.
Yes.
Yeah, that's kind of like the...
yeah, blended sauces would be
that's
good.
Like the textbook Polynesian barbecue kind of tropical vibe.
So good. Sesame
grill some
seeds,
chicken and
garlic,
throw some
ginger.
On there.
It's so good.
Okay, so
good.
Mexican guy. What made you stop going to Trader Joe's? Was it when you had kids or was it when you married a rich woman?
It was when I married a rich woman.
How do you feel about Whole Foods conventional produce versus organic?
I just buy whatever's the cheapest.
Oh.
I know, I'm terrible. I'm
well, you're
I'm
not
a
terrible.
Fucking cliche.
No. Do you buy?
I drive a Prius. I shop at Whole Foods. It's embarrassing.
No, that means you motherfucking made it, dog.
Hey, Jason, where do
it
you
does,
where do you get groceries?
Like, Whole Foods is owned by Republicans, and it's
what
a
kind
fucking,
of car do you
like,
drive?
I drive a Prius as well. I also go to Whole, but I do.
But you live on the east side.
Yeah.
So you know you're still cool.
I'm listening. No, Culver City is quietly
it's
becoming
old.
A super.
It's old.
It is, but it's quietly becoming a very cool community, especially in the food world.
Yeah, it's definitely
they have
normal.
In-N-Out Burger now.
It's normal.
They do what?
That's the one.
Oh,
good
yeah. Speaking
thing
of burger,
say, yeah. Oh,
back
the
to your
apple
pan, buddy.
Apple pan thing.
Let's talk about.
I don't
it.
Know, man. I just I don't love that barbecue sauce burger thing. I'm not into it.
You know what? It's just. I went to college at UCLA, and it straight up was like a. It was a thing for my buddies to do. The guy working the counter is just...
I get it.
Old, angry, white. Like,
dude, it's a
he's
great
only
place.
Not racist because he's not allowed to be anymore. I bet, in, like, you know, up until 5 years ago, you probably smoke in there. And,
yeah.
Like, you just drink coffee. And
this podcast has not had enough racism. I just want to put that out there.
We don't
I
care for your kind
for
around here, boy.
I was hoping for more.
Black. Is that getting edited out? Yeah.
No.
Oh, really?
No.
Please edit that out. I'm
let it ride. Yeah, I don't
Mexican.
Know. Do you prefer pie and burger to apple pan?
I do. Yes, pie and burger is fucking that place is
people way, from Holland
way better than apple pan.
Well, I feel like pie and burger and apple pan are pretty much the same thing
okay.
for me.
I just
with small differences mainly
maybe it's
barbecue
because
sauce.
Maybe it's because I don't love the barbecue sauce burger and it
pie it has to be the
and
barbecue
it, and at pie and burger I had like a patty melt that was amazing and
yeah,
I
yeah.
love patty melts like so
but to me
and
they're like the same kind of vibe
so oh no for sure and Apple Pan is a classic place it's a great place to go it is. I'm not saying don't go to Apple Pan it's a classic LA institution
but you have to be
but
okay if, with a hickory.
If you were going to make a list of, like, the best burger... Like, I just... To me, you want to talk about hype. Like, you tell someone, oh, this is the best burger you've ever had, and they go to Apple Pan, they'll be like... Meh, meh.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, like, that's...
Here's the thing. It's definitely... It's one of those places for me. It's an institution.
Yep.
Like, I love going there, and the burgers only... The burger's only good to me because of the experience, like straight up.
It's great. It's a great place.
Yeah,
because
you go, you got the burger.
You converted me. I take it all back.
But then after you eat the burger, you get a slice of banana cream pie
amazing.
And a cup of coffee.
The banana cream pie is
and then you have a cigarette afterwards at the end, and you're happy as a pig in shit.
And you,
it's outstanding.
You ask the guy, so what was it like when you could only use certain restrooms?
And then you ask the guy scraping the grill down. Wait,
and
I'm
he
not
goes,
gonna talk
rah, 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 and like, I don't know, he used to fight people.
Yeah,
like
they're
you
less.
And
they seem less racist at Pie and Burger. Maybe that's why more people are quietly liking them more.
But you know what? Like back then, it's like that's another thing. Like, you know, the whole like sort of modern like going back to really fatty foods after the wave of like healthy food or whatever. Like in the 50s or you know whenever Apple Pan was like reaching its original peak, like there were no standards for. This is really great beef that's only grass-fed and only grown on certain pastures. Mm-hmm. This, like, butter lettuce is straight up from 30 minutes down the road. Like, that didn't exist, you know? So it was like, when Apple Pan first did that, they did it great. And it's like, taking better... Like, if I take a head of butter lettuce that is delicious on its own, and I kill it by removing each and every, like, leaf to put on a hamburger, and you put one... Like, and if you take one leaf of the butter lettuce that, you know, was great when it was, like, fresh, like, now you've peeled off, it's wilting on a fucking hot piece of beef. Like, it's, you know, I've lost the butter lettuce at this point, you know? Like, it doesn't matter what kind of lettuce
for listeners
was.
At home, I'm doing a CPR-like hand. We've lost the lettuce.
Like, you know what I mean, though? Like,
is this the corona moment of this podcast? Are you doing 7 minutes on butter lettuce?
Yeah, let's do this.
Ideally,
yeah. The best tweet
this is why we
regarding
do
butter lettuce,
podcast.
As if there was a bunch, was, fool me once, butter lettuce.
That's the other thing. I don't, shame I'm not, you. I am, this is where I'm going to really get sacrilegious. I yes. am not, I am not into the whole California burger thing, the whole lettuce and tomato thing. I'm not like the biggest fan of that.
Okay,
like I like burgers. Like I like to eat burger, cheese, ketchup, done.
Really?
Like good bun. Like
it's very white of you, actually.
Well, no, it's just when I eat a burger, I want to taste the burger. Like a lot of people, they like the lettuce and tomato to kind of balance it out, that like crispness mm-hmm. and the lightness of the lettuce and tomato. But to me, like the best burgers, you're eating that beef, you know, the meat and the cheese and. It's just,
well, my
ideal
like
burger doesn't
beefy.
Have lettuce. It's just tomato and onion for sure, though, for me.
Tomato and onion, yeah. But I mean, that's the whole California, the whole old school California burger thing. It's the lettuce, the tomato, the In-N-Out burger. You know,
right.
it's got all that
everywhere
stuff.
Everyone else
on
is like a pickle and
yeah,
mustard.
And it's like, and it's a 50-50 ratio right. between meat and
fat.
Veggies.
So. How do you feel about
like 50-50? Like, it's like half beef, half lettuce and tomato. Like, it's not, you know.
75-25.
My brother is a burger purist, and he loves Pie and Burger. More than anywhere, and he goes sans cheese.
I mean, listen, I
so
guess.
You can taste the full.
I like
the sans
fromage,
sans fromage,
cheese and the ketchup. I also like the grilled onions. I like grilled onions, but to me, grilled onions are complimentary. Same with cheese; they complement.
I agree.
The fatty burgerness of the burger, whereas the lettuce and tomato balances it out with a lightness, like it is meant to create balance.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want that.
You want to feel like shit.
You don't want
afterwards.
The balance.
You want to feel like shit afterwards.
You want something completely rich.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I get, you know, a double-double at In-N-Out with the lettuce and tomato, and I like it. You know,
you
it's
like
not
it.
That I'll eat it, but it's not my favorite thing. So,
okay, favorite burger in L.A., what do you say?
Fuck.
Oh, fuck.
I don't know.
Is it Pine? But you can't name, like, a random place in Inglewood that nobody's ever been to.
No, for sure not. No. I mean, listen, like, I don't know. Like, what does that mean? I mean, if I'm in the mood for a burger, I'll just go to In-N-Out. I mean, we have the best fast food hamburger in the entire universe.
Amen, brother.
Like,
better than Shake Shack?
Well, it's different. Shake Shack's twice the price. So
you also have to wait in line.
Yeah, I mean, if In-N-Out Burger and Shake Shack were next to each other and I was in the mood for a burger, I would definitely go to Shake Shack. I mean, I think Shake Shack, if not even just for the... Shake Shack is the perfect burger. They get it's salted right. Like, it's salted at all. Like, that's a problem with a lot of burgers in L.A. They're not salted. And then they get that sear, that crunchy sear on the outside of the meat. That's, like, what you really want in a good burger.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Martin's potato roll. That bun is the greatest hamburger bun It's basically the Hawaiian roll of the East Coast. You know,
sure.
It is the best bun you can have a burger on, but I don't really compare it to In-N-Out because that burger is, you know, $5 and In-N-Out's $2. And it's a little bit thicker and, you know, but I'm a big Shake Shack.
When you make burgers at home, what do?
I'm not good at, I mean, I just, I'm not that great at it.
You don't
but,
do that.
I mean, I made burgers last week and, you know, I don't know. I put mustard, salt and pepper, a little Worcestershire. I don't know. Put it on the grill. Turned out all right. I don't know.
Did you use Martin's potato rolls?
I didn't. You can't get them here. Oh. You can't find them anywhere.
Amazon Prime?
Tasty Cakes.
Amazon Prime?
Oh,
you can get Tasty Cakes out here.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, Martin's potato rolls.
I've never seen a piece of bread make a man shiver so
hard.
Yeah,
yeah. For listeners at home, Zach just shivered with delight.
Oh, so good.
As if nipples. Like a small boy who got to eat all the sausages.
Nipples just pierced through his gray t-shirt.
I feel like bread in L.A. is like, it's like prohibition times with alcohol. It's just bread. It's like a luxury here. Oh, you eat bread? Oh, you eat bread?
I eat bread.
It's like fucking... Even at All About the Bread, there is a restaurant in L.A. called All About the Bread. They have a sandwich wrapped in lettuce.
No,
it's like, are
really?
You fucking joking? Like, your place is called All About the Bread. Like, isn't... You're meant to be the fuck you to L.A.
You're
and
the bread
even
guy.
they have a lettuce sandwich. It's like on a specials board.
Yeah, and All About the Bread, basically, they just try to copy the Bay City's bread.
But
and,
I think
and
you
Bay
know
Cities
what?
Would never do a lettuce wrapped sandwich.
So ridiculous.
They would punch you.
Here's
in the
thing.
So ridiculous.
The bread at All About the Bread, I rate it higher than Bay City's bread. But here's the thing. But Bay Cities overall, it's fun to go to Bay Cities. I'll buy like a $12 package of like Italian cookies or whatever. Like, I love going to Bay Cities.
Bay Cities is also overrated, but Bay Cities bread is
unmatchable,
unreal. It is the best sandwich bread, and I agree. All About the Bread is good sandwich.
Yeah, I mean,
bread
the rumor
really
I've
good.
Heard is it's a ex Bay Cities employee who was disgruntled.
Is it really?
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
And the sandwich,
but the bread
is
not. But the bread. I don't know.
Well, the bread tastes like a disgruntled version of Bay City, so it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it's like punk.
They don't quite. They don't quite nail it, right? Well, I mean, they have the bread that's close enough, but then the guys making the sandwiches are just they don't put the leaven to it like they do at Bay Cities.
Kids, yeah.
Bay Cities would be a second rate sandwich shop in New York, I think.
Really?
This is the problem I have with Bay Cities. Like, everyone gets excited about the Godmother or whatever. Is that what it is? The Godmother?
Yeah.
Right.
Godmother or Godfather, yeah.
Yeah.
That's at All About the Bread, but it's Godmother at Bay Cities.
Yeah.
It's Godmother at Bay Cities, right?
But that's like a general sandwich at a lot of Italian delis.
Yeah.
It's basically like every spicy
meat. It's like fucking
Boar's
Head. Like, it's not like, they're not using great meats in that sandwich. The bread is phenomenal, I agree. Mm-hmm. Like, but they're not using great meats and stuff, and it's just kind of like, I mean, it's fine, but it's not really the best, you know. Now, their hot sandwiches are ridiculous. Like, their meatloaf sandwich, oh my God.
Haven't had that.
Chicken parm, meatballs. Their hot sandwiches are unreal on that bread. And the best part is the little hot counter that's next to the cold counter, no line.
Yeah.
You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait in the main line to get that.
Pro tip.
You know. And I'll go to Bay Cities and buy cold cuts and their bread and make my own sandwiches, but then buy like the good. Like the good salami,
like
the
not
good
what they're using on the
not what they're using on the God, you know, because it's Boar's Head. Like, come on, man. Come on.
Yeah, Boar's Head is lunch meat 101.
Yeah, it's like that's. I mean, this is not worthy of being the number one sandwich in L.A.
Is it Boar's Head.
Well, when it's always on the list, okay. Everyone always talks
about
it.
How
many
great sandwiches are in L.A., though? You know, like, I think it makes the top 10.
I think that L.A. is not a sandwich town, unfortunately.
No,
there's so few and far between.
Eat bread.
But the places
who were in here before, they don't eat bread.
I mean, Nikki eats bread, doesn't she?
But especially on the east side, there's very few sandwich places. There's Mario's Deli in Glendale, which is very good.
Which I've heard about. I've never been.
It's like the Bay Cities of the East Side, kind of.
Right.
And then there's like the East Side Deli by Dodger Stadium that has infamous hot sandwiches.
And then didn't, like, what was a fancy restaurant? Or, like, you know, the, like, B-plus restaurant that opened up a sandwich spot? Black Hog.
Oh yeah, yeah. The
like the ink to their squid.
Yeah, that was.
Did that
called,
place close? Did that place close?
It closed.
So
yeah.
Soprasada.
Yeah, yeah. I never went there.
They opened a Banh Mi place in downtown. That's pretty good.
Oh, I
mean,
went,
not.
I
mean,
went there.
If you don't
I
call
like
it Banh Mi, if you don't call it Banh Mi,
yeah, it's not
it,
a Banh Mi.
Right, right, it's not Banh Mi. Right, but as a sandwich place for downtown, it's pretty good.
It was pretty good. It was where Baby Cakes used to be.
Yeah, what is that about? It's so funny. Like the minute you call something a Banh Mi, like people get fucking crazy.
Banh Mi.
They're like, if it's not $3 and it's not gigantic, then I hate it. Like people don't.
Yeah.
It's like the minute you use those words to describe a sandwich,
I think you have to either for a Banh Mi, it either has to be cheap. Or it has to be like a good value of some.
I think
kind.
It really just needs to be from Lee's. Like that's what people want. They want Lee's.
Well,
like,
right. But you know, it's funny. I think because Banh Mi, like my introduction to Banh Mi was in New York. I feel like, so Momofuku, not to take it back there, but they were one of the first places that did like a really upscale Banh Mi at Sambar. And so they had when they first opened, it was $8 or $10.
Which
like it was,
for the amount of like work they put into it, that's a steal.
Well, right. And I think now it's probably
now,
like
it
four, now it's like $14 probably. But when it opened, it was like $8 and people were like, oh, like fuck this. Like, you know, this is so expensive for Banh Mi. But I mean, their head cheese was the best head cheese you've ever had.
Plus, like in New York, where can you really get a Banh Mi?
There's in Chinatown. There's a couple places that I mean they don't compare to, like, you know,
like,
out here.
Yeah, like
I even know. The shitty like Lee's is considered a shitty place, and that
Lee's
place
is great though. It's like three,
you know,
it's $2.50.
Yeah, it's insane. It's insane.
Yeah, that, I think the problem with Banh Mi is everybody who's grown up eating them is used to them being like cheaper than they should.
Well, right,
cheaper than any food.
It's a peasant food. It's a quantity over quality food for sure.
Like the best Banh Mi I've ever had in Chinatown, I went to every single place in LA, not like Garden Grove or anything.
Not a lot
like
going
that.
On, Jason?
No, I went to I had some free time on my hands. But I went to like the best one I ever had was I went to this place. It was in like the back of a liquor store and it was like
It still exists.
It's there right now. And it was, you know, $2 and something cents, and some toothless grandma lady made it for me who didn't speak any English. And
That's racist.
It was.
What does it matter that she's toothless?
It doesn't matter. Well, it.
What does it matter if she was an old Asian lady?
He didn't say Asian. Why are you being racist?
It was. I didn't
so
mean.
The sandwich.
I didn't mean the toothless part to seem so hateful. But it was. I'm trying to paint a picture here. It was in a very. It was in a place that did not seem like it was up to code in terms of food standards. It was.
What
like,
does that mean, Jason?
It means it was Asian.
For listeners at
he's
home,
saying it's Asian.
My skin is yellow.
It was in a place where you're like, oh, you guys serve food here? That was like the kind of vibe. And like an old lady who didn't speak English, like you kind of point at the sign and say, I want the Banh Mi. And I ate it, and it was the best Banh Mi I've ever had in my life. And it was less than $3, and I don't know how to duplicate it.
Perfect.
But if you do like a fancy version of it that has
like pork belly,
handmade,
yeah.
You know, house-made head cheese, and you know whatever sriracha mayo and blah 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 on there, and it's $11.75, you're just gonna be like,
you know what?
It's pretty good.
I
but
appreciate
I can get,
that.
I can
though.
Get four of these for
like. I don't want.
It's the same thing as going to Umami Burger and being like, I just spent $12 on this stupid burger and I could get four In-N-Outs for this.
Yep.
But, you know, there's like, Umami Burger to me is not good enough where I appreciate it. Whereas, like, if I go somewhere, if I go to like Sambar and there's like, you know, like ripped off pieces of like pork shoulder that have been in an oven for like 12 hours, like, I can appreciate that, you know? But, like, I also. Like, when I'm in the mood for that, I'll have that. But when I want a, like, crummy, like, Banh Mi from, like, a toothless Chinese lady, Jason, then I will eat that, you know? Like, that's one of the, like, Banh Mi is one of those foods
all
where
all different
like,
races of people can lose teeth. It's not an Asian thing.
Wait, what? Zach is showing me his full smile and he's all
it's
of that.
Great. I was just thinking, like, the toothless ones, you know the meat's going to be tender because that's how they lost their teeth. they you know,
it's gonna be well. You're,
I don't know. You're Asian, isn't that how people cook?
You know what else?
You're gonna know that
ladies are good at.
You're gonna know they haven't been nibbling on the cold cuts. They're untouched, and if they have been nibbled, it's only tenderized. They've only been improved.
I just meant if she doesn't have teeth, then she can eat the sandwich. Or you know,
are these Dr. Dre lyrics?
She probably eats the sandwich herself, and it's probably easy to eat.
You can't make a hoe.
The bread's so soft, even I can eat it. And then she smiles, and then you're like, "Take my money. Let me get some shrimp chips while I'm at it. Take my money." What?
Kim Lee?
Kim Lee?
I could say that. You.
That's all you got. Kim Lee is a little. I think you can do better.
Kim Lee is too Korean.
Give me a name with an X in it.
Nokcham.
Thank you.
That's a food.
It's not even a food, dude. It's a sauce.
Sauce is food.
And it's also almost an.
Is it not a food?
I don't know.
It's one syllable away from an
incense.
It's a condiment as well.
Are condiments food?
Yes.
All right.
End of the
Done.
World.
There
you
we go.
A bottle of ketchup and nothing else.
All right.
You're eating a bottle of ketchup.
All right. We solved it.
That is the great question that we all try all right. to answer
you
every
can
episode
only
of
use
this podcast.
One condiment for the rest of your life. All right, you know what? Just if you have to like for sustenance, just eat one condiment the rest of your life. Like not ketchup on French fries.
This is
you're
the
just,
grossest game.
You're eating ketchup. Like, what is
this?
Your
is
condiment?
Not a game, bitch. This is real
this
life.
This is real life.
Is this happening?
Yeah.
What if?
Like, if you had to you subsist
me?
On
ketchup
one condiment alone, what would it be?
Yeah.
The problem is any condiment you guess, you'll be so sick of it after one day.
Can it be like the olive spread that they put on muffalettas?
Like
no,
because that's chunky.
No, that's
no, I would allow that.
That's a food in itself.
Is it?
Oh no, tapenade is that a condiment?
It's not a tapenade, but it's even it's chunkier than
it's
that.
It's not
so
a tapenade.
Olives are mashed basically.
Mm-mm. It's a very chunky olive spread with olive oils and other stuff.
Oh yeah, if it's mixed, in no way.
I don't think that counts.
Olive oil, you're gross and you're a monster. But
you're trying to. I feel like you're trying to cheat the system. I like where your head's at, but I'm not going to allow it.
I'm just saying they sell it in jars at Bay Cities. So.
That is true. They sell a lot of stuff in jars at Bay Cities, though.
On the condiment aisle,
we might as well just have cured artichoke hearts then. While we're at it,
it's not a condiment.
In some situations,
it's
it
not
is
a condiment, Jason. You're not playing the game right. We don't like you.
All right, whatever. All right, you guys go first.
Ketchup,
Dijonnais.
Oh no, gravy. You're cheating. Hold on. Did I just say the fattest answer without thinking about it?
Yeah.
Gravy.
Yeah.
Gravy. No, but gravy is low-key the best answer.
Yeah because it's
gravy
meaty.
Is definitely the best
answer. Did you
gravy
say Dijonnais?
Yeah.
Kill yourself. That's cheating, too, because that's like five different sauces I have to
that's
whip.
That's two.
Russian dressing.
Ooh.
Oh, come on. That's fatter than gravy.
No, Dijonnais
sure
is mustard and mayonnaise. That's
you
just
know
two.
No, Dijonnais is a vinaigrette with Dijon in it.
Tartar sauce.
That's
tartar
disgusting. You're a monster.
Tartar sauce counts, and I will accept that.
Wait.
I love tartar sauce.
Zach, will you be the typer here? Is a Dijonnais not like a vinaigrette with Dijon mustard in it?
Oh, I thought Dijonnais is just Dijon mustard and mayonnaise mixed together.
Really?
It is.
It's
literally a trademarked product that's Dijonnais mixed with mayonnaise. That's why it has the word A's
in
it.
So let me ask you this. Does it have to be Dijonnais, or would you accept, say, Ralph's brand mustard?
How dare you?
Mustard.
I would accept that because it's probably the exact same thing.
Okay. Or like peanut butter.
Ooh.
Like more than almond butter.
That's
shit
not
but
a condiment.
World,
if we're going to do that, then I'm going Nutella.
Peanut butter is not a condiment.
What else?
I feel like we need to look up the definition.
I don't know,
of condiment
dude. Peanut butter, why wouldn't peanut butter be a condiment? You don't really eat it plain. You only eat it spread on other things.
I guess you're right.
Well, depends who you ask. I'm known to eat a spoonful of peanut butter every day.
Same. I'll do a spoonful of peanut butter and then put a single dill pickle chip on top.
That's so you're not eating a plain.
It's pretty close.
Dude, pickle chaser counts.
Pickleback. Yeah, peanut butter pickleback shots.
Ew. So Dijonnais by Hellman's, fine.
Fine.
Fine, whatever, you're right.
It's okay.
Congratulations, you're taller than me too.
Yes, I know. And I know about all mayonnaise-based condiments and that's sauces. Gross. Wait, does Greek yogurt count now?
No. No, that does not count.
Tzatziki?
Ooh.
But no, that would not be my answer. I don't think anything creamy would be my answer.
But tzatziki's got cucumber in it.
Yeah, so I feel like tzatziki is one condiment that you could technically
subsist on.
Subsist on. Like it will give you enough nutrients to live off of.
How about gravy?
I feel like you always say that just in general.
Gravy?
No, how about gravy?
How about gravy?
What do you want to do tonight?
How about gravy?
No? Okay.
I've never spilled gravy on a like an article of clothing. Like, you know, like...
Just mustard?
Yeah, like, you know, like... And I've totally done that before. It's like, I don't think I've even eaten mustard this week.
Are you making a distinction between spilled and splattered?
No, this is more of...
Just
this
any
is more,
sort of stain
this
on
This is more
clothes?
Of a indication of a fat guy move where... Yeah. It's ranked in order of fatness of like barbecue sauce, mustard, like different kinds of sauces that you'll have like a splotch on your shirt or pant.
But here's also like a
gravy takes the cake.
A mustard stain on a fat guy, like 800 times funnier than a mustard stain on anyone else. You know, like if Jason and I were both wearing white shirts right now. There was mustard on it. Is it just be like, dude, get, you know, get your fucking lifestyle.
If I was like, oh, I got a little mustard on me.
Yeah,
like,
just
oh,
be
sorry.
Like, dude, change your lifestyle. You saw it on me. You just like you wouldn't say anything, but you'd laugh.
See, this is LA talking. I mean, to me, if you don't have stains on your shirt, you're not like a legitimate food. I mean, you gotta
Amen,
have.
Amen, brother.
Yeah, it's like if you meet me after lunch, if there's not like shit on my, you know, shirt or whatever,
you haven't done. You haven't.
Yeah,
done
like
right.
I wasn't working hard enough.
Really?
Yeah.
Because for me, it's like I enjoy eating food, but I'm also an adult, so.
Oh.
Actually, you know, for what it's worth, like I've spilled so much. Like Jason has seen me.
I'm just saying, I want to enjoy my meal, and part of enjoying my meal means not worrying about if, like, slurping up whatever I'm eating is also getting on my shirt.
Sure, and also looking at your shirt and being like, "Thank God that's not jizz."
That's never like been like I've never
I
finished.
I laughed at that.
I've never
no,
finished.
I laughed at that.
I've never finished a meal at a restaurant. Looked at my shirt and been like, "Shit!" I
Have
got,
you ever like
I
looked
got
down
sambal.
At your clothing and be like, "Oh my! Oh,
that's
whoa! It's only gravy. Oh, whoa! It's only consommé."
You know, at work the other day, I was like whisking eggs because I was just making like soft scramble for breakfast.
As we all do at our work.
Yeah,
I mean, office
you,
job.
You know, sometimes I'll make eggs for the office, and I just got. Wait, I really do. Like, whatever.
We're recognizing that you're a special person. Don't worry.
I got just egg white all over my belly, and I tried to get it off. And for the I wore generally all black, and for the rest of the day, I just looked like some like huge guy. I just like. Yeah.
People can't see what you're doing, by the way. Just want to point that out. What? All they did was heard you go, yeah. They didn't see you jerking off. Yeah.
Jerk off motion.
Yeah.
And then finishing with the open palm.
Yes.
Also, on my belly. Just saying, you're probably the first person in the world who's ever said, "I got egg white all over my belly."
Have you never been like whisking eggs or anything and just gotten egg white on your belly?
No. I mean, I whisked eggs twice today, but I may have gotten eggs on me, but never specifically egg whites and never specifically on my belly.
You were probably not whisking like 10 to 12 eggs at a time in a little ass Pyrex.
And why were you just doing egg whites?
No, I wasn't. It was just like right as I cracked. Like,
they didn't
really
have a chance to
mix.
Emulsify.
Yes.
You poor thing. So no yolk.
It was yolk at later, not on my shirt.
Right.
My shirt just got that crystal clear.
Yeah, luckily the egg white just kind of crystallizes and breaks off.
It looks like a, you know, dried gym sock from eighth grade.
The breaks off motion is really similar to the finishing motion.
Yeah, the way that you flick a crystallized egg yolk off of your black shirt is the same way that a penis will ejaculate. Semen.
Jason, come on. Now we have to edit out
at
your
least,
own podcast.
At least the hand signal is
right, and they both make like a window shattering sound, right, guys?
You might want to get that checked out.
Wouldn't it be cool if every time you jizz, it sounded like a window breaking?
Oh, okay. If you were like a billionaire, Would you have
this is,
it?
This is the closing statement.
Would you
of the
have
podcast,
it install that whenever you finished, you just heard it like an explosion sound, like a mushroom cloud,
like Hiroshima in that pussy?
Yeah, just destroy it. Would you do that?
I've never wanted a podcast.
Would you do that?
To have sign language accompaniment more than right now at this moment on this podcast.
Okay, I'm going to start a Kickstarter to pay for a sign language person to come over here
and do the podcast
and
every week?
Sign the whole pod through. We'll do it on a video pod. And then our blind listeners will.
Does the Kickstarter pay for hair and makeup too?
I would donate to that.
We're not doing hair.
What are the incentives? What kind of shit are you giving away? I mean, so I can decide what level I want to do.
We'll whisk your eggs for you.
That's a sex thing now.
Signed 8x10s.
I get to eat your egg whites?
Yeah.
Oh, Zach, come on, Zach.
Disgusting.
Come on. Come on, Zach.
We're coming down the home stretch, right? This is it?
We are. This is the grand crescendo.
It's all happening.
God damn it. This is what I, you know.
You started it.
I started it, but like. On the closing note,
who finished?
I was like, hey, I've been doing like this dumb comedy, stupid podcast for a few years, and I love it. It's so fun. I can get it all out of my system, but I'm going to start this food podcast because I listen to all these food podcasts all the time, religiously. Your show, Alton Brown, The Good Food, the
cool.
America's, like all these dorky, dumb food podcasts. I listen to them all the time. I'm like, I'm going to do something like that. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be intelligent and insightful, but, you know.
You did say you wanted, I think we had plenty of boring food talk on this podcast to accompany the
well, hopefully it
close
was
out jizz moment.
We're still working our way through it, but I think we've brought a few people on, and we've lost a few people, and that's the way I like it.
As long as you plugged my podcast at the beginning,
that's
all I cared about, because I mean, you can lose anybody. No
sure.
one's picking up the show midway.
No so one's picking up the show midtown.
They all heard it.
You all heard it here first. Well, Zach, thank you so much. It's been a real treat.
Thanks for having me.
Your website is midtownlunch.com. Boom.com.
And foodisthenewrock.com.
Foodisthenewrock.com is where your podcast is at.
Available on iTunes and where all good podcasts are not sold.
Where all good
it's
podcasts
free.
Are given away for free.
It's
just
free.
Like this one. You can follow me on Twitter at themjeans. Chris.
What?
Where can people find you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at...
Just say it, you pussy.
DwayneJohnson_TheRock. Neg Nance. NEGNANCE.
I feel like that's going to be the tradition. Every episode, just you have to say that your Twitter is The Rock.
Okay.
Dwayne Johnson.
Can you smell? I can't do a horrible
this is, this is the second podcast we've done, and this is the second podcast where you've said that your name is Dwayne Johnson.
Wait, really? Is that what I said last time?
Yeah.
I thought I said like Selena Gomez or something.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, either one, it has to be one of the two.
Dwayne.
Dwayne! Okay, thank you for listening if you have made it this far. And we appreciate you. Okay, bye guys.
Bye!